We love family business stories, the ins, the outs, the behind the scenes. And joining us this weekend for a great story is Southwestern Hearing Centers. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Mike and Brian Marino join us in studio to tell their story, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business, on KMOX. Tell me about Southwestern Hearing Centers, and I want to know more about how it started for you.
Well, 1947, my dad got it, didn't get into the business, but that's when this company started out of Chicago. A lot of people laugh at me and ask how we got the name Southwestern. Believe it or not, St. Louis is southwest from Chicago. So that's how it all started. And 1956, I think it was, my dad saw an ad in the paper for an electronics salesman. Oh. And that's when he applied for a job and started working for Southwestern Hearing Centers in 1956, I believe it was.
Well, how about that? What did the business look like then in the 50s?
Well, it was generic. Well, I mean, everybody wore a body aid. It looked like a big transistor radio stuck on their chest with big wires coming out of one ear. That's what they had. You had to be severely hard of hearing or almost deaf before you would even relinquish to one of them. And we went door to door. That's the way it was done. There was no service involved, no offices involved, no professionalism really involved back then either.
So it was basically people had a need. There wasn't really screenings and things being done in the 50s.
No.
Wow.
No.
So you had it was like a vest. It was almost like a
portable, just like an iPhone.
Yeah.
That size. And you put it against your chest in a carrier and you ran a cord up there to an ear mold in your ear. And that's what it was. And
yep.
It had four or five transistors. Yeah. That's what it was run off back then with a flashlight battery.
Wow.
9-volt flashlight battery.
That's what they used.
Yeah. Originally, the first one started, they had a battery pack on your leg.
Yeah.
But my dad got into it. We really modernized it to the size of an iPhone. But back when they started, it was really ridiculous.
Yeah. It seems like over the years, there's always a certain hesitancy. Sometimes people are comfortable with it. It seems like now people are very comfortable wearing hearing aids. But back, you know, just a couple of decades, people were hesitant for that sort of thing.
I think a lot of people referred to it as old, looking old. I think that was the thing. And I used to tell people 25 years ago, if we could ever make these things fashionable, they'll become fashionable. We were trying, believe it or not, there was a program called Miami Vice. You remember that show? You probably don't. We were working with one of the gentlemen on the show to have one of the policemen have a gun go off near his head, and we were going to fit him with a gold hearing aid, a CIC hearing aid, a little canal hearing aid, trying to popularize a hearing aid. But the company that I work for, the manufacturer I work under, made it popular with Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
He put Ronald Reagan with the first canal hearing aid, and it was on the front of Time magazine.
Yeah.
And that opened the doors for the hearing aid industry.
Wow, how about that? So how many years have you been working in the industry?
50.
50.
Yeah, I started 67.
Yeah.
It might be over, I'm afraid. Yeah.
And it was your dad who came here to St. Louis and started working in
Father's always lived here.
Yeah,
they came from Chicago, the main company. My dad worked and got a job here out of St. Louis. We've always lived in St. Louis.
So were you working with your dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that like?
At first, it was fine. I was just one of the sales crew, as we called it back then. But things started changing professionally, and we were glad. We became licensed by the state, got rid of a lot of people who shouldn't be in the industry. Mm-hmm. The whole business changed. I worked for my dad and worked downtown on 7th and Olive. That's where our office was. And we'd go out to people's home calls. And then I seen the business changing, and my dad didn't agree with me. He thought that's the way it should be. So the only problem I ever had with my dad was I was trying to change, and he's going, no, let's just leave this thing alone. It's not broke, don't fix it.
I see.
So,
do you find any of that with your son, Brian?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, but the thing that's different now is I don't argue with him.
Yeah.
My dad.
See that look?
Let me tell you how bad it was with my dad. My dad had to go on vacation for me to buy a fax machine.
I see.
That's how innovative he was. Now, with Brian, there's not many things I say no to because I realize that change is important, and I just back up and let him do it unless he tries to do the same things I did that don't work.
Yeah.
I'll tell him other than that, I leave him alone.
I think, you know, with your experience with your dad, it taught you didn't want to, you know, have your feet stuck in the ground. And, you know, to be fair to him, you know, dad's really great at what he's done, and he's been doing it for over 50 years, but he also recognizes that times have changed. Irrelevant of the industry and what's going on in our little corner of the world, the world's gotten smaller, you know, with online. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks in our industry that haven't adopted and haven't moved forward. And dad's really recognized that. And he still does what he's good at. And he comes into the office every day and he makes sure that his knowledge is put to use. But for, you know, new modern approaches, he's been really open to it And, you know, to kind of use and piggyback off what he said, you know, he's not afraid of the new technology like his dad was.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you heard about the relationships here from the different generations. Is that pretty typical?
It's pretty typical. Usually the next generation's a little more hip with technology and has a longer time frame than the current generation. And every organization needs forces that push for change. Mm-hmm. And every organization need forces that push for stability. And so long as the different generations can take different roles there and push different ways, and sometimes it's called headbutting, and I hear that a lot in family business, so long as it doesn't become personal, it's actually a healthy dynamic for the business.
So Southwestern Hearing Centers, you had an office on Olive, probably not too far from where we're located today.
Right on the corner, 7th and Olive, in a famous and bar garage building is what they called it.
Ah, yeah. How long were you down there for?
Oh, my God. 1968 to 1981 or 82, if I talked my dad into moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you talk your dad into moving?
Well, there was nobody down here, and people weren't going to pay $5 to park to buy a $2 package of batteries.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But my dad, again, downtown was the place where everybody came.
But was the model still door-to-door at that point?
It was still home calls and some office calls, but people didn't want to come downtown.
Yeah.
They were either afraid to or they didn't want to pay for $5 worth of parking to be screened. And I didn't blame them. There were hearing aid companies out in the county working and being very successful. And then I told my dad, we need to open up another store out in the county. Yeah, no way. So I opened it when he didn't know.
So the competition started heating up at that point. You started to see other places opening up.
Yes.
You said you opened another location without your dad knowing.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I took a Central Harbor card, a credit card back then. And we talked my dad into buying a building, which was not easy to do over in St. Charles. And I bought some paneling, and I took some 2x4s, and I opened an office over there, and I ran an ad he didn't know about in a TV Guide magazine back then. And he was spending a weekly budget of $300 for advertisement. And I spent $1,000 for an ad in TV Guide to advertise two offices. Mm-hmm. And that week we had $25,000 worth of business, which was a fourth of the year before's income.
Wow.
He did $100,000 a year before. I did $25,000 in 2 weeks, and he looked at me and he said, "I think you got an idea." So he got mad at me when I did it, but it turned out okay.
TV Guide was the most circulated publication for the longest time. You know,
it was a lot of money for an ad back then. Are you kidding me?
Sure, but it paid off big time. That risk did.
I took a shot, but it came out of my pocket until it worked. I got it back from him.
We'll hear more from Mike and Brian Marino from Southwestern Hearing Centers, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program every weekend on KMOX as the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. Some of them have roadblocks. Some of them have other reservations. Some want to be in, some don't. Every situation is unique, and that's why CMA Consulting can help. And it's always better to start early, to start talking about these things early. Things will go a lot easier if you do. And that's where they connect you to unify, develop, and align the next generation. So this is how it starts. Reach out to Dan Bean at CMA, cmaconsult.com. Let them know you're interested in a no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business. It's complimentary. It answers the questions. And maybe the most important question is, what can you do to help my family business? The website, cmaconsult.com, but you can give CMA a call directly. It's 314-721-1860, 314-721-1860. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joins us here. We tell family business stories in this weekend story from Southwestern Hearing Centers, Mike and Brian Marino. So your dad, after you started to build the business, did he start trusting you more at that point, giving you more responsibility at that point?
No.
No.
Not yet. No. It took a while. Listen, honest to God, I told him my third office, and you would think with that he was ready to go. When I wanted to open the third office, let me tell you something. My dad, to the day he passed away, God love his soul, never made it easy for me. Mm. I had to prove everything I did or do it myself and show him it worked. But by the time he died, it's all the best idea he ever had. Trust me.
I see. Southwestern Hearing Centers, where are you guys located today?
We've got over 30 locations throughout St. Louis and some part of southern Illinois and Illinois. We were in Chicago, and we were in Kansas City, and that was my son took that for a ride. And we tried to do 70 locations. And Brian finally, about a year ago, said, this is not working. We can't run them like we did in St. Louis because we're here. Mm-hmm. and the management was, it's terrible. You can't run an office properly. At least we couldn't. That was 600-700 miles away. You couldn't do what we did here locally.
Yeah.
So we just said, let's just sell them. We sold them back to the manufacturer. We came concentrated back in St. Louis.
I see. So how has the technology changed over the years that you've seen?
Well, that's the whole thing. People think of hearing aids as an object that you buy off an internet or off of a shelf. And you can buy a hearing aid like that. Don't take me wrong, but that's not what we're dealing with. We don't fit that kind of a hearing aid. We fit programming, hearing aids, and digital products that are becoming health aids. The industry we're working to now, hearing aids just doesn't make you hear. It also will converse in 27 different languages and translate for you. It has a fall indicator in it. So if you were to fall down, it'll notify your closest relative that you fell at the police. It has a way to take your blood pressure that's being adapted at this time. It's very virtual reality. It's everything in it, even to the point where you can tap it and ask who the fifth president of the United States was, and it'll tell you. So everything in here, blood pressure included, heart rate, walking, monitoring, everything will be in your ear.
Wow. So does that connect to a smartphone? Is that what it does?
Part of it is, but no, yeah. It's just generally everything's built into the product itself.
Wow. Yes. How about that?
Yeah. So that's where we're going. We've already got it now where it does five of those features. And then they're adapting it as we go. They won the top 100 inventions in last year. This hearing aid product, the Aviva, was part of that product.
Oh, that's
amazing.
It was
one of them.
So your son is here, Brian.
Yes.
And how long have you been in the business?
I joined the family organization in around 2013. And my goal at that time was to just kind of step in from an outside perspective, see what's going on inside our organization and kind of modernize what we had built for the last, at that point, 60 plus years.
Yeah. Probably the time, Brian, since you've been in, you've seen a lot of changes too. I mean, it's you can go back to the 50s and see how the technology has changed, but even probably in the last 10 years, there's been leaps and bounds in the technology.
Well, you know, it's Moore's Law. Hearing aids are not immune to the technological advancement at a rapid pace. And just to my dad's point here, 7 years ago, even 8 years ago, we didn't have some of the things we have now, artificial intelligence, translation in real time. Again, he had mentioned it, but one of the coolest features is the ability to alert a loved one if you take a fall. As you probably know, folks in their 70s and 80s who fall, maybe break a hip, go to the hospital. There's a significant portion of those people that never leave the hospital. So just those health indicators and our manufacturer representing those people knowing that it's not just about hearing. Don't get me wrong. Hearing's related to early Alzheimer's, dementia, early onset dementia, Alzheimer's. But there's all these other cognitive functions that go along with hearing. So making the hearing aid not just a hearing aid, but a healthable, a hearable, and being able to track your just your steps and making sure you're active. Technology, it's leaps and bounds.
Wow. You talked about some of these things. It seems like all these other technologies are starting to consolidate in this device. And when you start to learn about all these other features, do you find sometimes people are more inept to want to get these features, or are they kind of surprised at some point that they're even allowed or they could even get these sort of features all bundled into one?
Well, hearing aids are not a one-size-fits-all object. Mm-hmm. Some folks just need to hear better in their daily life, and their daily life is simplistic. Our senior citizens aren't running around in business meetings and, high-flying attorneys or what have you. Some of our patients just need to hear the TV and then go to their social circle and hear their friends when they're playing cards. And some folks do need all those functions, and it's nice to be able to have that freedom of choice and working with an individual one-on-one, hearing what they need, and then fitting them for their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So there's not a one-size-fits-all is kind of the answer to that.
But it does sometimes take a person to make that leap by having not just a hearing aid, but because it does this one or two other things, they'll go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
And then they find out, aside from all the other stuff, the hearing is great. It is great. They don't buy it because of that. They buy it aside from that.
Yeah.
It's kind of if that's coming along with it, I'll take it.
Do you guys screen inside of your centers?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's got to be a
test.
Big part
they
of it.
Have to do full tests. You can't just screen. You have to do a complete barrage of tests.
What goes on in a test?
Well, you put them in a soundproof room, and you do bone conduction. You do what they call a pure tone test, from 500 all the way up to 7 or 8,000 hertz. You do screening. You do masking. You do voice interpretation and phonetically balance the words, so you have to do other understanding. You have to test that understanding and see if the hearing loss is a conductive loss or a scenario loss, which means that you just can't hear sound or they don't understand. Mm-hmm. They don't understand you're dealing with a different type of product that has to be programmed for that type of hearing loss. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like lenses, eyeglasses that you buy at the corner of Walgreens.
Yeah.
Or let's get a custom pair of glasses.
Right.
So take your choice.
Yeah. And to his point, you know, the first thing we're going to do, he mentioned conductive loss versus a sensory neural. Well, there's a lot of people that come in and, you know, the first thing we're going to do is look in your ear through a video otoscope. You'll get to see it and experience and see what's going on in your ear. And a lot of times it's a conductive component where, you know, maybe we remove earwax, let's say, and you may have just gained, you know, 15 decibels and you may not even be a candidate for a hearing aid, but just coming in and knowing what's going on. Is, of course, advantageous, and it's knowledge you should have about yourself. Yeah.
Southwestern Hearing Centers, I wanted to ask you about this, too, when it comes to insurance. Just from my own family aspect, my dad, for the longest time, needed a hearing aid, didn't get one until he qualified through the VA. You probably hear a lot of stories like that. There's certain people that may have a certain need, but it's not until they qualify through whatever insurance they may have that they can actually get one.
I would say the majority of people either have insurance or have a discount program for our hearing aids. Very few people will pay list price, if you want to call it that. There's a lot of deductions available for hearing aids. There's a lot of programs that help you get into a hearing aid reasonable. Mm-hmm. Cost of hearing aids has come down significantly.
How do people find you now? Like, do people get recommended to you, or do people just walk in through your door?
We have a tremendous referral business because we've been in business so long.
Yeah.
I would say 50% of our business is referrals and referrals to other people who know us. We got a few people that wear hearing aids that are notable celebrities. Whitey Herzog, Stan Musial, God rest his soul, was one of my patients. Got a lot of patient board that people believe and recognize him. And Whitey doesn't get paid to do any endorsements for me. He did it because he was my friend and we helped him. Mm-hmm. And it still goes that way today. So he told me he didn't advertise for money back then. He said, I'll do it for you because I like what you did. Mm. And that's sold a lot of hearing aids for me, I guess would be the terminology to use, but that's the God's truth. A lot of it's word of mouth, and we do still advertise. My son takes care of a lot of that now because a lot of that's changed. Advertising has changed so much. We're just part of a big package that you have to be a little more selective in what you're doing.
Probably has some of that Miami Vice philosophy that you had before. Whitey Herzog helps people to look at that and say, you know, maybe I should look into it too. Gets a little bit more awareness to that sort of thing. So how common is it anymore? When someone comes in, is there a certain age demographic that you find it's pretty common for them to need a hearing aid?
That's changed. I mean, when I started in the business, I didn't see many people under 75. I'm being honest with you. I used to keep note of that. Today, we have a round of people in their 40s and 50s coming in. That's what's changed. That demographic has changed by 30 years.
Wow.
Seriously, people are more aware. They want to hear. They want to be more active, and they love it. And it doesn't bother them to wear something in their ear anymore. Where years ago, that was a big no-no. Now, I see kids running around with things in their ears, just a radio.
The stigma's changing.
Yeah, the stigma's changed.
Don't go anywhere. More from Southwestern Hearing Centers in Mike and Brian Marino, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. They continue their story next on The Business of Family Business on KMOX. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And if you have a great family business story to share, we would love to hear it. How about you give Dan Bean an email, information online, cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. This weekend's family business story is from Southwestern Hearing Centers, and Mike and Brian Marino join us in studio. I'm curious if maybe the need of it has changed, too. Do you think maybe at a younger age people have damaged their hearing so much that it's a necessity at some point?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially the drugs. Ototoxicity is probably number one.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I've seen that switch because when I started out in the business, people 75 and 80 years, the biggest thing they took was quinine. Because when they had malaria and things back in the early 1900s and 20s, they gave them quinine, which caused a hearing loss. And that's when I started to notice it. Well, then the pharmaceutical business got where it's supposed to be, just huge.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a lot of younger people are damaging their ears with drugs. And a lot of people, it's not just doing illegal drugs. It's the drugs that you take every day to keep you healthy that do cause severe hearing damage.
Mm.
And it's just nature of the beast. You get medicine to keep you well, but there's always a side effect.
Yeah, and with those drugs, a lot of people don't recognize the hearing loss. What they'll recognize first is the tinnitus, mm-hmm. which is ringing in your ears. And that's what draws people in with the ototoxicity. Yeah. But, you know, again, to bring up a point you just mentioned, the noise-induced hearing loss is actually creeping up. The two biggest reasons for hearing loss are presbycusis, which is essentially hearing loss due to old age. We're all getting there, and our body's changing as we go. But then, of course, your noise-induced hearing loss with folks today. You know, next time you're in an elevator and you hear a young kid's earphones, his headphones, and you hear him, they're that loud.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think he's doing to his eardrum and his cochlear when it's less than an inch away from his sound? It's bad.
Oh yeah, it's
Southwestern Hearing Centers, and I got to ask about tinnitus because a lot of radio personalities, you find people that wear headphones all day, like myself. People get they have these speakers close to their ear multiple hours a day. Mm-hmm. Not always the greatest thing, when you turn it up and you're trying to really pay attention to things. I have it in one of my ears. I've never really gone in and got tested. I know
you have
a
hearing loss in that ear.
Yeah,
you have a high frequency
left ear. Yeah,
absolutely.
I hear it all the time. It's not enough to bother me though. It's not distracting. I don't lose sleep. It's just there.
It will.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the way it is. If you have tinnitus, you have a high frequency loss.
Yeah.
How severe it is, I don't know. But if you keep doing what you're doing, it's going to get worse.
Yeah. How do you even do that? From what I understand, there's not really anything you can do about that. Some things you just can't do anything.
Well, believe it or not, today's equipment, we can take it and you'll mask it.
Hmm.
What it doesn't virtually eliminate it. But what it does, it masks it with the proper sound that's there. Once you lose that high frequency, you're missing that particular frequency.
Yeah.
So if you amplify that frequency, just to be real simplistic, you eliminate that noise. So it's called masking. If you were to take your radio at nighttime and put it between an FM and an AM station, mm-hmm. between two stations, that noise, you hear white noise,
mm-hmm.
will mask that. You won't hear the head noises anymore.
Hmm.
It sometime, you'll see.
It's interesting that it's some of that psychology. It's a psychological you can help aid with something like that.
Yes.
Even Rush Limbaugh has the cochlear implant.
Right.
I don't know how long those have been around for, but I've seen a couple of people that have had that, and I didn't really realize how popular it was until I saw it on Rush, and then next thing you know, you start to pay more attention. You see certain people that have
it's not popular. Nobody wants to do it, but that's when there's only thing left.
Yeah, how does
Whitey
that work?
Has it too? Well, it's just basically it's wiring that goes down into the cochlea.
Mm-hmm.
And the wire picks up the frequency because your cochlea is so damaged, there's nothing in there to do. To be really honest with you, that gets way beyond my technicalities. I've never done it. I've seen it. I know a little bit about it, and a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. So I don't talk a lot about it because I just don't know a lot about how that procedure works.
Yeah. Right now, how many different offices did you say you operate?
Is it 30, Brian?
30. Yeah, 30.
Does that mean you have a pretty big staff?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What type of training is necessary to screen and things? What do you guys do?
You have to be licensed by the state of Missouri, so you have to go through a test, practicum and written test both ways.
Yeah.
So you've got to be in the business approximately about a year under apprenticeship by a sponsor like myself who has a license to sponsor you and be licensed to do testing. So we teach them the whole end of it, and then they take their test up at Jefferson City and see if they pass the test. By law, you're supposed to have your ears examined by a physician before you have a test. The government's eliminating that.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that we know enough that you don't need a doctor when it's not true, but we can usually spot problems and send them to the physician if we need to. So you don't have to by law, but you need some kind of training medically.
Is that a good thing for the government to, have this special training licensing? Because I'm guessing it's a pretty sensitive thing you're dealing with here. You don't want just anyone, off the street to be able to perform some of these
things. Exactly. That's why they licensed it to begin with. That's what was happening. You were just getting salesmen in there, and you've got a sweet little lady here who doesn't have any idea what she's doing. And those two things don't work together.
Do more harm than good.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering today, how much of the population actually has hearing loss? Is it a large amount of the population?
I'd say over half.
You think so?
I know so. If you're over 70, you have a hearing loss. Actually, if you're over 60, you have a hearing loss.
On some level. From mild to severe, for sure.
Yeah.
What would a mild versus a severe, what would be the big difference between the two? Like, how much of percentage loss would you have between them?
Let's put it this way. You got to go by understanding feature, not by sound. You could have a loss more severe in one particular frequency than another, and it doesn't really affect you day to day. If the volume's turned up a little bit, everything's great. But if you have a high frequency loss, All your consonants are gone. Your S's, your P's, your S-H. So somebody's talking to you, and they turn around. You don't hear the S-H, or you misunderstand. Yeah. That's where the misunderstanding comes in. So I would say mild loss, just a little bit turn up the volume, and you're fine. Starting to get moderate loss, you can turn up the volume. It doesn't change your understanding.
Yeah.
Then you need help.
Yeah, you can hear the sound. You just can't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating part for folks, especially in situations where there's a little bit of background noise. Dan, we talked about that a little while ago, and that background noise, in a restaurant, a social situation, which is so important, to stay social and stay active. And what happens to a lot of the folks, they struggle with it. They deal with it for a while. They start getting frustrated, and then beyond frustration, they start pulling back. And then, when you lose that social aspect, all the other dominoes begin to fall. So that's when a lot of folks either take corrective action, mm-hmm. come in, see light at the end of the tunnel, or don't. And go down that path.
Yeah. Mike and Brian here with Southwestern Hearing Centers. And I wonder this too, and this might sound like a weird question because you have all the different testing and you have the equipment and there's a lot of technical aspect to it. But with all of your experience over the years, Mike, do you feel that you have this ability to there's something special, you know, when it comes to understanding not only the industry, but the products and what goes into it, that it kind of helps tailor the special needs of certain people?
Absolutely. To everybody's individual. That's why that's why there's so much availability out there. You need to go into a specialist that can tell you what you're going to need. Mm-hmm. You can't just buy something off a shelf and assume it's going to take care of all your needs. It doesn't happen. The world wants you to think that, and they're going to try it, and they've been trying it. You can buy hearing aids on the internet, but I'd say 90% of them walk into my office and want me to fix it or adjust it because it don't work. Whatever, most of them go back. Mm-hmm. And then they come in and we fit them correctly. But some people, you know, they look at the price, that's all they look at. And that's fine. I mean, you can. We have hearing aids at the same price, but they think if it's on the, you know, on television or on the internet, Facebook or whatever, that's the cheapest way to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but everybody's different. Yes. Yeah.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, and I kind of wanted to talk to you about that experience. You can get a lot of experience in a family business, generations of experience that have worked with multi-generation customers. Sometimes that makes such a huge difference when it comes to a family business.
Absolutely. So some organizations become known for their quality of service. It becomes part of their reputation, part of their hallmarks, and it does get passed on from one generation of consumer to another generation of consumer, and that's a very big compliment to any business that has that, and we've had a number of those on this show.
We continue one last time with Southwestern Hearing Centers and Mike and Brian Marino, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, the great family business story to share, continues next. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And on the Business of Family Business, you learn about family businesses, the way they operate, you know, that personal touch that they put into it. And I want you to imagine when it's time to make that decision, a transition, a retirement, whatever it may be, CMA Consulting will help with their multidisciplinary team. Family businesses have lots of questions. You may be in that situation yourself. If you have taken the first step, if you've taken the 20th step, if you've taken no steps, this is what CMA can do. They can answer your questions in a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. They'll discuss your family business. They can discuss an upcoming transition, maybe some of the benefits of what they have to offer. The website is cmaconsult.com. And I know you may prefer to call them, which you can, at 314-721-1860. 314-721-1860. That's how you reach Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. If you're enjoying this interview of the Business of Family Business with Southwestern Hearing Centers, you can always go online and listen to the entire program. You can send it to a friend or maybe look at some of our previous family business interviews at KMOX.com. In the podcast section, look for the Business of Family Business. Mike and Brian Marino from Southwestern Hearing Centers, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. We continue one last time. You know, Brian, if you look at the way the technology is going today, you impress me. There's a lot of things I had no idea that is going on inside of the hearing industry. But where is the technology going?
Answer that question in any industry and try to be, you know, in the know. Who knows? I think is the short answer. They're definitely evolving hearing aids where it's not only about the hearing function. That is the most important function. And with connection to our phones, you know, as you know, it's a limitless ability to read and interpret what's going on with our bodies. You know, Dad mentioned your heart rate, your blood pressure, the trip detection, the fall detection.
This is also a weird one. Is there a difference between male and female? Do you find that there's more of one sex than the other that comes in?
Female.
Mostly female.
Yeah, they usually drag the men by their ears. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, and they usually take care of their father or their mothers, the aging parent. We get a lot of phone calls from the mid-age woman who's worried about her dad because she'll call him on the phone. He can't hear her. He doesn't hear the grandkids. Mm. So they'll take the first leap. Men come in. Don't take me wrong, but they're not quickest to react. Women are more.
I've seen a lot of kids bringing their parents in.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's their reservation? Why didn't they want to come in to begin with?
Their old reservation.
Yeah.
The same way. It makes me look old.
Yeah. Mm.
And the older you get, the less you want to look old. It's just kind of a catch-22. You know, when you get to that age, you don't want anybody to know you're that age. So you're constantly fighting a battle, and hearing aids ain't going to make any difference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's what you grow up with.
From what I understand, Mike, you have a daughter that also works with you at Southwestern Hearing Centers.
Yeah, she does. She's been doing this for 15 years. She's a licensed specialist. She's
great. Great.
He's an expert, yeah.
So you have two children inside the family business right now
and
working.
And then my other daughter, who's not in the business, her husband is. So I got my son-in-law, too.
Wow.
That's what the family can do. It's great.
Are you pretty active, or are you partially retired? Or
Whatever I want to do, which is great. So I'm partially retired, but yet I'm very active. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take my boots off. My kids won't let me, and I don't want to. I mean, it keeps me young and active, and I see a lot of my patients every day that I've been dealing with for 15, 20 years. They still want to see me, and I want to see them. I work with the manufacturer doing a lot of missions now. That's my thing now. We Starkey does philanthropists, and they do a lot of missions in all over the world.
Yeah.
We give away hearing aids.
Yeah, let's talk about those efforts, because
sure.
You guys are very active in that.
Yes.
So what are some of those things that you're doing?
Well, I travel. My wife and I travel. We've been to China. We've been to Mexico. Just came back from Lima, Peru, in the United States, too. And we travel with the Starkey Foundation, who— Bill Austin, who's the owner of it, it's an independent company. It's not owned by stocks. It's a personal-owned company. He started 20 years ago giving away hearing aids to needy people, and it's grown into where President Clinton, President Bush, Elton John, celebrities go with him on these missions because they believe in it too. And we go and we fit kids with hearing aids all over the world, whoever, and adults too, so it's not just kids. But anybody who has a hearing aid in a third-rate company that doesn't have the means for it, we give them to them.
Oh, that's great. Do you ever hear any things that are not true about hearing aids that drive you crazy, certain misconceptions?
Oh, yeah. Well, for years, a doctor said I can't wear one. Well, I don't know what doctor this is. I mean, if he's not caught up with the latest, then he shouldn't be telling you that you need to find a doctor who's about 25 years younger. That's probably the misconception, is that hearing aids don't help all people. I find that very not untrue. We can help 99% of the people who have a hearing loss. Yeah. Unless you're deaf, we can do something with you.
You know, the servicing, that's an interesting aspect. So do you guys offer that?
That's the biggest part of our business.
Is that right?
Without that, we're not here.
So at Southwestern Hearing Centers, what happens when someone needs their hearing aid service? They just bring it to you? And
We like to see our people every month or two just to come in if they need to get batteries, to have our hearing aids cleaned and checked, to take care of them, and once a year at least check them, make sure that their hearing is consistent. Make adjustments to the hearing aids. If your hearing changes slightly, we can adjust the product for it. So we're constantly working with our people, and that's the key aspect of our business, is we give the service to these people, or they're not going to come back.
That's interesting. So glasses, you might have to get a stronger prescription and get brand new glasses. For you, you might be able to fine-tune it.
We can tweak it, so to speak.
Yeah, tweak it. Yeah. Awesome. That's actually huge.
And hearing is it's very subjective. Each environment's going to have different complications. You know, we talked about a restaurant in an environment. This is an environment where it's really quiet and easy to understand and communicate. And everybody's walking their own path and has their own environment. So what you'll see over time is as a hearing aid user wears their hearing aids and experiences different environments, they bring that back to us, plug it into the computer. We listen. It's an art. It is an art.
So when they come to us, they tell us, listen, when I go to church, when I go to a meeting, we pick these particular channels to channel that particular system in, and it'll talk to you. It'll take care of that system.
How often should you get screened?
Like, once a year.
Once a year?
It's no different than any other part of your health. Absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to. It's just good health. You know, how often do you have your eyes checked?
Yeah, about once a year, it seems like.
Sometimes once every couple of years. You don't anything within normality, because everything's going to change, especially if you're taking a lot of medication. Mm-hmm. It's going to change. You know?
Mostly when I need new glasses, I think. Okay,
well,
maybe
that's it.
Switch.
A lot of these people come in and go, I don't hear as good as I did when I got it. Well, it's time for make a change.
Yeah. Do you ever find people, and this is going to sound weird too, maybe come in and they say, well, ever since I got this, I'm hearing too much. Like I kind of enjoy, there's a certain amount of bliss to not being able to hear everything.
Well, the wife usually complains about the husband hearing way too much. Yeah, they hear, a lot of them keep it quiet. They don't want anybody to know they're hearing that good. They want to see what everybody's saying behind their back. So, you know, there's a fun way to handle this too.
Yeah. If people wanted to look you up on Southwestern Hearing Centers or kind of get an idea of maybe find a location that's close to them or some of the different services you offer, where can they go? Is there a good website address for them to head out?
Yeah, visit us at southwesternhearing.com. You know, we're a family company. Mom's in it. In fact, my mom and my sister right now are doing a community event for our existing patients out in Cuba, Missouri. You know, find us at southwesternhearing.com. You know, we really are passionate about what we do. We'd love to at least bring you in. You know, you have your hearing screening. We don't charge for that. At least see what's going on and go from there. You know, if hearing aids are not what they used to be with the stigma. They're not priced out of control. You know, our plans start as low as $59 a month with no credit check. It's low barrier of entry. It's really easy. We're not a big corporation. We don't answer to shareholders. You know, it's always a phone call away. If you're meeting with one of our staff and they need help, They literally pick up the phone and call my father, you know, who may be sitting at his computer and his desk or sitting on his couch in his little his apartment that he's staying in now because his house just burnt down. But the long story short is he's always available. We're always available. You know, visit us, get your hearing checked, and improve your quality of life.
SouthwesternHearing.com and 30-some locations, mostly here in St. Louis and some in Illinois.
And we go down through the Springfield area. So we got a pretty good reach.
Yeah, we got stores in Springfield. You're right. I forgot about that.
And Brian, I never asked you about this. How's your working relationship with your sister?
You know, Cindy, my sister, and my mom, I love working with my family. And I know that not everybody who would sit in this chair would say the same thing. Ups and downs. You know, I'm blessed to be in a position where we support each other, which I think is the most important thing because you're always going to have challenges. But at the end of the day, we come together. We are able to sit down and break bread and enjoy one another's company. And then the next day, get up, go to work. And, you know, it's like you said earlier, Dan, you know, that the generational consumer. Grandpa taught Dad, and Dad established it with his kids. If you take care of the patient, the rest will follow. And that's what we do. And it just feels really good to have a support system that you can trust and love like your family. Yeah. And that's felt with our team. You know, we're 4 years, hopefully 5 years running 100 best workplaces in St. Louis. We're proud of what we built. We're proud to take care of the patients. And I couldn't be more excited or proud to be doing it with the people that I love the most.
Mike, that makes you feel pretty good. It sounds like the family business
that
is in good hands.
Part. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, we have fun. We do. We talk all the way down here. It's just we're constantly talking about the business. I have to shut them up sometimes. That's all I want to talk about. But yeah, you know, I'm at the point now where I want to talk about other things, and he's going right there. Him and my daughter both. So I just got to get out of the room. You know. They're so involved in it now. It's great.
Passion you had, too, at that age.
Exactly.
You see it now with them.
It's burning, man. Yeah.
Very encouraging.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and this is something I'd love to tell folks. When you're doing your research, you know, southwesternhearing.com, don't stop at southwesternhearing.com. Research. You know, service is such an important part of this journey, this hearing journey that our patients take. You know, we're really proud to be probably the most positively reviewed company, hearing aid company in St. Louis. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews, video testimonials on Facebook, on Google. And you know, we're not advocating for that. We appreciate people taking the time to leave us those reviews, but it speaks volumes because you can't go to their house and type the review on your own. You know, they're gonna tell you how they feel, whether it's good or bad. And I'm not saying they're all five-star reviews. You know, you're not gonna make everybody happy, but boy, overwhelmingly with over 1,000 five-star reviews online to about 4 that aren't 5 stars. We're really excited about the service that we provide for folks. And, check it out online.
That's really like a byproduct. It's a byproduct of all of the different service that you've offered over the years, generations, decades.
Exactly.
Of that.
Yeah.
Really
and it's
amazing.
Nice to have people come back from behind and tell us that they think we're doing good because sometimes you just don't know.
It is
you
all about it. Taking care of the patient.
Yeah, that's really
it. Really, that's
they can
it.
Buy hearing it anywhere.
That's right.
You know, it's us that they get.
You're right. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You heard the story of Southwestern Hearing Centers today. What were your thoughts?
It's a great story, and I think this is the second time we've had a family business where the founder, put founder in quotes, bought the business from a non-family member and turned it into a family business. So sometimes family businesses aren't started by the founder, they're purchased by the founder, and that was the case here with Mike's father. This is an amazing story of growth based on service to the customer and responses to changing technology. This transformation of hearing aids and becoming health aids is very intriguing. That portends very well for the future. And I'm also heartened to hear about the philanthropic efforts that Southwestern Hearing Aids does with Starkey. That's great to hear. And with G2 involved, things look very bright for the future.
Mike and Brian from Southwestern Hearing Centers, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the story on the business of family business.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ryan.